Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. If you're listening via our new Radio Plus iPhone app, did you know that our hosts sometimes send charts they're talking about directly to the Radio Plus app? If you don't have the Radio Plus iPhone app yet, you'll want to download it. It's free via the iTunes App Store.
Michael Moran with us from Daiwa. Perfect day to talk to Mr. Moran. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
Jump. Interest rates jump. Has the Fed noticed that interest rates have jumped?
I suspect they have, but they've probably also noticed that the economy is doing a little bit better. If it's the better performance in the economy that's driving up interest rates, I don't think they'd be too concerned. If it were some other factor, such as withdrawal of foreign savings or heavier borrowing by the federal government, they might be more concerned about it. So far, though, I think that the increase in interest rates has not been that pronounced, and it's probably been primarily because the economy is starting to do a little bit better.
Doing a little bit better, and I don't know the last time I looked at FFIP, our Fed Funds Probability Series, but we've been at the zero bound for so long, Michael. Your skills at gaming the Fed have gotten dusty. And sometime here, we got to step in and start gaming the Fed with a polarity at the FOMC. How do we game the Fed given the distance from, say, Plosser to Dudley?
Boy, you're correct. There is such a wide range of views on the FOMC. Bill Dudley, that you mentioned, who is the president of the New York Fed, is very much a dovish person, very much wants to provide additional support to the economy. And Charles Plosser from Philadelphia is very much concerned about inflation. Right now, I think the consensus view on the FOMC or the median view is closer to Dudley than it is to Plosser right now. And if the economy were to soften up, I think you'd see the Fed willing to do more to provide support to the economy. But right now, I think given the performance that we're seeing with moderate growth in the economy and some decline in the unemployment rate, the FOMC is content with that economic performance. And I don't think they'd do any additional support as long as we continue to get moderate growth and steady declines in the unemployment rate.
Well, what's your forecast, Michael? Does the economy soften up, as you put it, or does it continue to show signs of growth?
My view is that we're going to continue to do well on the economy, that we'll see gradual improvement. The unemployment rate will fall slowly, admittedly. It's going to fall, but it's going to come down gradually, and I think that will keep the Fed on the sidelines. Main reason I have this view is over the past couple of years, there's been several headwinds that have been holding the economy back, such as tight credit. Last year, we had high energy prices. We have balance sheet repair going on in the household sector. As we go through time, these headwinds are going to be diminishing, and as they diminish, the economy should gradually do better.
Michael, I'm seeing each and every house frame the distinction between optimists and those relatively cautious. Maybe the recession crew has drifted away. Which camp are you in, and make the distinction why?
Well, I would have to put myself in the optimistic camp in the sense that I think I'm more upbeat and have a more favorable view than the consensus estimate, although even I am not wildly optimistic on the economy. I don't see the type of vigorous growth that we sometimes see after a recession. I have us growing between 2 and 2.5% this year and 3 and 3.5% next year. That's a steady rate of growth. It's a respectable performance, but it's not vigorous activity. And again, that's a little bit more optimistic than what the consensus estimate is showing right now. The reason I'm leaning on the favorable side is because I think we're going through a healing process, and I see evidence popping up week after week that we're making progress in healing all the problems that we're facing. As we go through time, we'll continue this healing process. The headwinds that have been holding us back are going to diminish, and the economy will do better as a result of that.
Well, weren't we in a period last year when things were looking better, and then suddenly it just kind of fizzled out?
We were, but there were also some shocks last year that you will not necessarily see again this year. The big shock, of course, was the earthquake and tsunami in Japan that interrupted supply chains and affected our economy. And then we also had the jump in energy prices, which we're also seeing now again, of course. Without those shocks, I think the economy will do better. Another shock, too, that I think had an important influence on the economy last year was the dysfunction in Congress. All the debate about the debt ceiling that cropped up last year, I think, really had a negative effect on confidence. That slowed down consumer spending. It hurt business investment plans and hurt the economy. If we don't have a repeat of that this year, then we should do better.
I know Ken wants to jump in here, but you said a repeat of that this year. What's changed?
Well, what's changed is we have a presidential election year, and I think members of Congress are going to stay away from the hot topics that caused some of those problems and dysfunction last year in Congress. I think both parties would like to put those subjects aside for a while. Now, they may not be able to. There are some things that they might have to address this year. There are many tax provisions and some spending provisions that are scheduled to change as we turn the calendar year into next year, and I think Congress will want to stop a lot of those things from happening. There are tax increases scheduled to come into place next year. There are spending cuts that are scheduled to take place next year, and Congress may want to prevent some of those from occurring.
We get the inflation numbers tomorrow and Friday. Producer prices tomorrow, consumer prices on Friday. How's it going to look?
I think you're going to see headline numbers that are a little bit troubling, probably numbers in the neighborhood of 0.4% per month, which is a noticeable increase in prices. If you look at the core components, if you exclude the energy components and if you exclude the food prices, we're probably going to have tame numbers, 0.1% or 0.2%, which would be a tolerable change in prices.
Well, remember, what was it last year, year before, when there was a lot of complaining that the people on the Federal Open Market Committee don't drive or eat?
You know, interestingly that you say that, if you look at what the Federal Reserve has done, they've established a new inflation target, a 2% inflation rate. And I think they went out of their way to indicate that it was the headline inflation number, the one that includes food and energy prices, that they're now targeting and keeping a close eye on. And I think it's largely because of the criticism and the pushback that they got from people last year about excluding food and energy or not taking those fully into account.
Michael, within C plus I plus G and net exports, the current account just came out modestly ugly. Ian Shepherdson makes adjustment to his forward view. What is your take on the current account deficit, and then can that pull down economic growth?
That's one of the things we really need to keep a close eye on,
yeah,
because the main component of the current account is trade flows. And one of the risks we're facing the economy right now is a slowdown in trade because of the situation in Europe. If you look at what we've seen so far, I think there's been a dampening effect on our exports because of what has happened in Europe, although I don't think it's been so severe yet that you would be thinking about recession, but it's something that we need to keep a very close eye on. I took a glance at those current account numbers while you're on commercial break, and the trade flows were really not too surprising on that. Another component of the current account is investment income flows, and that's where the surprise was, and that's what made it look ugly. We typically do fairly well with investment flows, but there was slippage during the fourth quarter of the year. We lost $10 billion in investment income. That is, it shrunk by $10 billion, and that was a surprise in that set of numbers.
Michael, when you look at the current account and the flows, we bring it over to investment. Last year, we got nice capital goods investment. Does other investment pick up as well?
I think you'll see the trade situation deteriorate a little bit this year. I think you'll continue to see capital inflows into the U.S. We still have broad liquid financial markets. I think there's still probably going to be some flight to safety demand for U.S. investments this year. Although the European situation is calmer right now, I don't think all of the problems there have been taken care of, and I think there'll still be some flight to safety flow, and I think we'll still continue to attract foreign financial capital.
Michael Moran, thank you so much with Daiwa.
Listen to Bloomberg Surveillance weekday mornings at 7 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2012.